Art, like most things, is a lifelong education. Age can't protect you from getting better. In fact, it acts as a craftsman's tool to fine-tune the medium you participate in. No local artist better embodies this sentiment than who we sit down and talk to today, as her experiences and stories have cooperated in making her the local gem she is. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and today, like always, we are joined with a very special guest, somebody that I have known for some years, somebody that has been incredible for this community in the vein of art, local artist, Gloria Nicholson. Thank you for joining us so much, Miss Gloria.
Thank you, Josh.
Absolutely. So I don't know if you heard in my introduction, I had to put a Miss in front of that Gloria, because I have always known you as Miss Gloria. You are somebody that not only commands respect, but somebody who has just earned it. And the way that you have earned it most notably in this community is just by putting out some of the most beautiful ceramic art we have ever seen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And so before we go into the art, I want to ask you about something that has always intrigued me about you. You've accumulated a lot of success locally. You've shown a lot of places. But one of the things that is so cool to me is that, as you tell it, you started art very late in life. And so before we get into the art, let's talk about how you started later, as you say.
Okay. What happened to me since I've been in Tallahassee was I had an accident. Mm-hmm. What happened is I fell, and I fractured my pelvis. And being that I'm a person that likes to keep busy, I was getting on everybody's nerves. And I had a friend that worked at Le Moyne, Nancy Jefferson. Sure. And she told my husband, she said, "Well, why don't you bring her over here, and we'll see if she wants to play." And that's what happened.
And what did they mean by play?
Well, to play is what happened is I was in a wheelchair for 6 months. And Nancy, I had met Nancy when I was having a venue down at the park, down on Park Avenue. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to have a restaurant here. Sure. So that's basically where I met Nancy. And Nancy said, "Just bring her over in the wheelchair, and let her come over here and see if she wants to play with clay." And that was it. You know, I came over there and started at Le Moyne, and I just found I just like to play with it.
You know, all research says, or most research says, that if you're going to do something, it's always best to start early because you accumulate the skill, and that sometimes starting later in life can handicap some of your proficiency. But I think art's a little bit differently.
I think art is different.
Because you bring your own experiences with it, right?
Because also, I mean, you do art in different ways. Mm-hmm. Okay, before this, my art was cooking.
Yeah.
Okay, and I had a funny way of saying food has to look right. Okay, you just can't cook food. You gotta, you know, it has to look right. Mm-hmm. So I got a chance to play with food here when I had the restaurant.
So you had the Do Drop In, right?
I had the Do Drop In.
Yeah, right off of Park Avenue. Off of Appalachia Parkway.
Appalachia Parkway, and then I did the park.
Yeah.
I was down at the park on Park Avenue for quite a few seasons there, and all of this helped me a little bit, and being that it kept me busy, you know, I was in a good mood.
So when would you say you started
cooking?
Practicing art.
Practicing art, maybe about 7 years ago, six or seven, that's it.
Really?
And like I said, the first star was Nancy. Uh-huh. And basically, I went into the studio with Nancy just to take a class, and it was hand building and also the wheel. The wheel was not good for me.
We're talking ceramics now.
Ceramics, yeah.
Throwing clay.
I'm mostly a hand builder because I like mixing it. I said you can mix food, you can bake cakes, you can do all those things. So it would always keep me interested. And so, go ahead.
So now let's talk about your process and your technique. You're learning, as they invite you over and you're starting to play and it's starting to become something that you like.
Well, what it was is I liked it, but, you know, certain things I wasn't interested in. Like I said, I was not interested in the wheel. I really wanted to make masks. And for some reason, just playing with the clay was something I wanted to learn, you know, and learn the hand building and the techniques. But I always found that I went back to making masks.
So let's jump to something really quick. You have become locally famous for these masks. I don't even, you know, I guess they're masks, but to me, you know what they look like? They look like portraits. They look like portraits of people that you've conjured up in your mind and have splattered them on these ornate backgrounds in the in the form of this glazed clay. Let's talk about the mask or the people or the spirits, as I call them,
because that's what they feel like. I call most of the series, even though I'm making some masks just for fun, there's always one that's called the ancestors. And as you see, I never know. I always say that the clay tells me what it wants to be. Okay, the clay tells me what it wants to be. I cannot start something and say, this is what I'm going to make, because it never turns out that way.
And so the faces and all of that come to you as you're making
as it. As I'm making it, or looking at it, or coming and taking it out of the kiln, and after the glaze, to see what I could do with it when I take it home. Because I also like to embellish it with jewelry or rocks or shells or anything that's coming in. And that clay and that face tells me what it wants to
do. Do you ever work with found materials, too, just stuff that you find that you think that you can incorporate?
Lots of it is fine, because basically I started out really making them and just hanging them on the wall as they were and formed. And then I like putting them on wood, or I put them on old fabrics, or I put them on anything that I can find that is going to, you know, take it to the next step for me.
So two questions. The first one is, what that interests me, what is the next step? I hear a lot of artists say, I never know when it's finished. I never know what perfect is. How do you know when you're finished?
Okay, first of all, I don't believe there's any perfect. Okay, and that's what I learned, you know, basically, is that if you're looking for perfection when you're making something, it's not going to come out right. You know, actually, the feel, like I said, the feel of the clay, I've learned basically by moving the clay around and putting them together. Okay, I did one thing years ago. I had a favorite African bag that I had bought, and I decided I was going to turn it into a not to a mask, but into a vase. It was a leather bag. And learning, actually, because I never had any lessons beside Nancy and Sue, that's who's with, you know, I work at her studio now. I've never had any lessons from anybody else. So basically, it's taking what they taught me and putting it into my own interpretation of what it's going to be.
So my next question, of that two-part question is, you name them. I've noticed that. Most of them or all of them are named. Where do the names come from?
In my mind. And what it is, like I say, I take it home, and if I have done that mask for that, it takes almost, basically, you say, to make it, it's maybe a month between the first, the fire, the making, the bisque fire, and then if you're going to put it into the glaze fire, and then it goes home.
And so for people that don't know, what does this process look like? What are you doing?
Okay, what I'm doing is I'm molding the clay. I'm molding the clay. Then the clay is dried until it gets leather hard. And then it's put into a fire that's called a bisque fire in a kiln. Okay, when it comes out of that kiln, it's already hard, and what you're going to do then is glaze it. Okay, and basically that's another process, because you're actually deciding, you know, what kind of glaze you're going to put on it. Okay, there are a lot of different glazes that you can use, different colors and stuff. And after that, you put on that glaze and you put it back into another fire, and it actually melts the glaze and gives you the shininess or whatever you want on the mask. Then I take it home, and then it sits on a little table for about 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes a month. And then I look at it and say, well, let me see what I'm going to mount it on. Then let me see what I'm going to add to it as an accessory. So it's a whole big process of trying to get it to make it one face.
Absolutely.
And then after that, you got to look at it and see what its name should be. So, you know, it's a mental process, but it's good.
While you have been in other places, mm-hmm. for the last few years or for the last several years, mm-hmm. Tallahassee has become home.
Yes.
And in that facet, you have enjoyed a level of success that not many local artists reach. You have shown in so many places like Lemoyne or Bearfly or 621 or Jefferson Arts. I'm sure the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that feels to not only enjoy what you do, but to be appreciated and adored for what you do.
At this age, it feels very good. And I think what it is moving here. When I moved here,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know anybody. My daughter, the reason I came is because she took my granddaughter and they came here. I believe when you move a new place and you don't have children, mm-hmm. little children, you're not putting them in school, nobody's going to invite you out to play. You got to go play. You got to invite yourself.
Sure.
So I just invited myself. The artist community really welcomes you. Whatever you try to do, you're going to find somebody if you really do it.
I'm so glad you said that. One of the flags that I've put on my back over the years mm-hmm. is that Tallahassee, for whatever it is or for whatever it isn't, it's my favorite place. And on top of that, we really not only have a receptive art community, but a robust art community.
Oh, very much.
And so I think a lot of people lean on the excuse that we don't have much in order to quell some anxiety that they have. But if you get over that anxiety and get out in the community, we have a lot.
Well, the thing, too, is when I worked at the market,
mm-hmm.
that's where I met most of the artists that I know now. Okay. The market at that time was a very, very friendly environment, and artists were there. And I always liked doing art if I never did it for myself until I got older.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even as a child, I was always doing something.
So this isn't really technically something that you started late in life. It's a return home in some ways.
Yeah, I think what it is that it's always been in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I did stage design when I was in high school. You know, crazy little things that we would do. And I think that's what it really was. I've always brought art into my house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and because I've always liked different things, art, music, and stuff like that, it's always been there. So I grew up with that. My dad liked it. So it's always been something that's here. I just never knew what I could produce on my own.
You know, a question that I ask on this program often, and I love it so much because it's a simple little question, but sometimes it takes us in really cool directions. I'm always talking to artists and artisan and art-minded people. Mm-hmm. And so I would always like to know, what does art mean to you? What is art to you?
Okay, that is a difficult question to put into words. Okay. Art is actually, I think all people are born with a sense of art.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't realize it. If you don't realize it, you're not given the opportunity to see it the way you want to portray it. Okay, that's what
Absolutely.
I think the other thing that happens with art is people don't really realize that, and I realize it when somebody's looking at something I've made.
Oh, what does that mean? That sounds
What it means is that you have to see something in there that you need or you want. And when I name some of my figures, it's because people have come by when I've been at pottery shows, and they'll come by about 2 or 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and they'll look at something, or they'll look at the face. And if it wants to go home with you, it will say, I'm going home with you. Okay? Because you have to come by. It's personal. You know, we don't really buy art any longer. Art now is out of the pocket for some people where they really can't afford it. But if in your life it's been there all the time, whether it's the love of art, painting, or music, or anything, dancing, it's always been there, and it's up to you to kind of bring it out of yourself.
I'm going to butcher this quote, but I read somewhere once upon a time, somebody was asked, what is the definition of love? And I think the quote is recognizing a counterpoint of yourself in another person. And the way that you just said that, almost, that was so beautiful that when art speaks to you, you'll know it. Because it's on a different frequency. It may not be saying it in language. It may not even be saying it in the way it looks. But it will touch you in a place where you will recognize it, and it will demand to either come home with you or to be felt in that moment,
and
even
to be
if
felt.
It doesn't.
And some people walk by and they just want to, because I like texture in anything that I'm making, they just want to come by and touch it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, I like everything. I like natural things. I like texture. I'm not really, I love raku, doing raku or anything of that type. The burnings when you do the clay work. But also the fact that most of that feeling comes, I think, too, when you name something. Because then somebody looks at it and you can tell them that's the name. And they can look either, most of the people that have bought them, you know it. And I'm just, I'm so happy to see somebody take something and look at it and say, that's something I need because it's speaking to me.
Absolutely.
You know, it's speaking. It's not, it's, I can never do something twice. So I hope nobody ever asks me.
to replicate something.
No, I don't. I can't do it. The nose might be different, something. I can't really do it. But I do get, it's a good feeling. And I hope, you know, anybody who buys it and brings it home just loves it.
You brought up something earlier, this series that you have with your mask that's entitled The Ancestors. I may be reading too far into it. But it's always something that interests me as a black man when I hear words like ancestors or ancestry or posterity or legacy. Obvious things come to mind. When you said that you titled that series or titled that series because it's ongoing, The Ancestors, the question that I thought about in that moment was, do you feel the weight or the presence of your cultural identity when you're making art, or in that space, are you not black? Are you not woman? Are you just something creating? Or do those things inform the way that you make art?
I think they inform the way I make art.
Sure.
Because it's me.
It's you.
And the ancestors is, I've always had a connection with what I call the ancestors. Okay, and in that way of actually being able to get a it's not really virtual, what is it? It's actually seeing the mask. I'm putting a face on it. None of them have my ancestors' names, so that's not it. It's deeper than that. I think it's a consciousness of where we're from, where we've come from, you know, what the feeling was at that time.
And where we're going.
And,
Where we're going.
Where we're going. You know, and I think it's a way of just expressing the need that we have for all of these things to be recognized and all these feelings.
In closing, I always have a different question in closing. I try to anyways. And my closing for you is, at this stage in your life, some people might say the winter or the fourth quarter, you're still young and you'll be here for many years, but you do have more behind you than you have in front of you.
Yes, than you have in front.
Do you still have ambitions? Is there something that you would like to do with your art, publish a book of it, or show in some certain place?
No, I still think I got a book to write. Because I enjoy that too.
Sure.
But I think I I think, you know, that as you age, I don't say getting old, it's getting older, because mm-hmm. I've always thought of the years I could put my age backwards. Okay, like right now, I'm supposed to be celebrating my 8th birthday, not my 80th this year. Okay, and then the years that you can't put them back are just terrible because it makes you older. But I think you just need to appreciate everything you have and take the blessing in the morning, and you need to create with that. I don't think that people need to actually sit and do nothing because your mind is still growing. And anything you're bringing into yourself makes you a better person.
Well, in closing, I'll mm-hmm. say earlier you brought up the word memories when I asked you about posterity. Mm-hmm. And there is one thing for certain. While you're here, and even when not, you have decorated this city with some of its most amazing memories through your art. And I appreciate you being here. And I appreciate you all for being here again for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.